Dear Father, we're ready to get into the Word, and Father, I ask that you cause me to bring light to what is important for everyone here, important for our inheritance, important for everything that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we live by this Word, do we not? We live by it. And last week I introduced the subject of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of us don't realize how important the Holy Spirit really is. We take Him for granted. Jesus said that the world cannot know the kingdom of heaven because they don't have the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes into our heart and life, then we understand the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And so I brought out what it meant, why Jesus was so emphatic about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But before we go to Matthew 12, if you want to, you can start turning there. Remember what I read in Ephesians chapter 1, and these verses came alive to me as Danny was voicing, the Lord was using him to voice His will to us. He is our guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory, which is our glorified state. When we received our glorified body from above. And so we're looking forward to that. Amen. But in the meantime, we have to occupy. And so the reason He said in Ephesians 1 there that He's a part of our inheritance is because everything that you're going to inherit comes through the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to say some things that's going to shock a lot of you. But the Holy Spirit, when He was come, He came with no authority to speak on His own initiative. Because when the Holy Spirit is given to men, it is up to the authority that is established in the earth and in heaven. And the Holy Spirit has been given not to be a form of authority, but to reveal and enforce the authority that is in heaven and in earth. He doesn't speak on His own authority or His own initiative. And the reason that God chose it that way is to keep men's will intact. That is the true sovereignty of God. Is a man has a right to choose for himself. His present state and his internal state. Man has a right to do his own choosing. But the beautiful thing about it is that God has made a way for the entire world to escape final judgment that has to come. And thank God He sent Jesus. And thank God when Jesus left, He left the Holy Spirit to reside and live on the inside of us. And so I got all kinds of remarks from last week's talking about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and coming down to the issue of words. And man, had everybody come out of the woodwork, which shows me that you're concerned about what you say. And that's a good thing. But in Matthew chapter 12, let's go there. Matthew chapter 12. Hallelujah. And we're going to read about Jesus doing something on the Sabbath. Then was brought to him who was demon-possessed, verse 22 of Matthew 12, blind and mute. And he healed him so that the blind and the mute man could both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he divides him against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or else, how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first binds a strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Now I want you to follow what I'm reading. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him either in this age or in the age to come. Now I want us to stop and think about something here. All that Jesus did to deliver that man who had a demon present that caused him to be able not to hear or speak was removed. And these men came to him and accused him of using a demon to expel a demon. And Jesus said something. He said, how can a kingdom stand if it's divided against itself? Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's very interesting that no matter what denomination you belong to, when it comes down to the subject of the Holy Spirit, there's where I find men more divided than anything else. I don't care how you look at it, division really sets in when we start talking about the things that are involved in the Holy Spirit. Why do you think that is? Because I'm going to tell you something. Satan is smart. He knows the only way that you and I can have the fullness of our inheritance is through the Holy Spirit. And so, in order for us to be divided against ourselves, he has to go to the strong man that guards our home, our house, and arrest him in such a way that he could come in and he could do whatever he wills in our life. Boy, it's awful quiet here. Now, last week, I had shared with you why the Lord was so emphatic about the issue of the Holy Spirit being spoke against. He even said, you know, you can even speak a word against the Son of Man, and it will be forgiven you. But you cannot do that when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit cannot defend himself. Why? Because he has no authority to do that. The only authority that he has in the earth is what we give him, or the Father sends him to exercise his authority on our behalf in the earth. Now, we clarified it when we started that all authority had been given to a man, and thank God, through the plan of salvation, became a man and brought it back to a place where it belongs in the hands of those who believe in Christ as a man. Now, one thing I want you to understand very clearly, that we covered the subject that we cannot bear false witness against the Holy Spirit, because when we bear false witness, we're going to be held accountable for that. We brought out in Proverbs 25:18 of the New Living Testament, telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe and wounding them with a sword or shooting them with a sharp arrow. The Talmud teaches the slanderous tongue kills three: the slandered, the slanderer, and the person listening to the slander. And of course, Jesus speaking here was speaking of Satan. Satan's number one goal is to go to your strong man and somehow get him not to function on the inside of you in whatever, what area or any area that belongs to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you something. To think that the miracles and the miracle power of God, which is actually exercised by the Holy Spirit, Because without the Holy Spirit, you have no gifts operating. And to say that they've passed away with the last apostle, you have no scriptural foundation to believe that. It's not in the Word. You can go into the New Testament, you can go into the Old Testament, wherever the Holy Spirit is mentioned, there's a power of God. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit, when He comes into our life, is called the dunamis of God, which that word dunamis means the achieving ability. That's what that means in the Greek, dunamis. The achieving ability. The ability to remove things. Now, He did not come to speak on His own authority or initiative. That's found in John chapter 16. But He came to bear witness or to reveal the kingdom of God in the earth in us. Period. So therefore, how we react to the kingdom in heaven is how we react to the revealing of the kingdom in the earth through us. Now, we put the fear of God in everybody about these words that we speak idly and the results of that. But really, it goes further than that. It goes deeper than that. Because the Holy Spirit is the operation of God in the earth. Now, I want you to think about this. If you, going into Scripture, to find out all there is to find out about the Holy Spirit and how He functions and operates. When you see that, you're seeing the one whom Jesus said would not leave you and I orphaned, but will send Him so that we know that we are connected to our parents. We're connected. Amen? We're connected to the kingdom of God because of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no connection. That's why Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, many won't know it because they can't see Him or hear Him. But you will know Him and you will hear Him, for He's going to be in you. That's pretty powerful. So the Holy Spirit has a vital part to play in our life. But the thing about the Holy Spirit, He was not given to our outer man. Do you know that? See, when Kenneth Hagin first started teaching that years ago, that caught me off guard because I thought the Holy Spirit was in control of everything. As a matter of fact, I had friends that said, the Holy Spirit told me today what to wear. You know, I run across what I call sluggards. Not a slug, but people who act like a slug. Slow to do anything. And they told me the Holy Spirit told them not to take a particular job. And I had witness that the person who said that didn't like working. So his excuse was the Holy Spirit told him not to work. But he didn't read in the Bible where it says if you don't work with your hands, you don't provide for your own, you're worse than an infidel. What? Now wait a minute, what spirit are we listening to? We got the Bible saying work for the woman to provide for her so she feels comfortable because everything is provided for her. Women like being provided for, don't you? Yes. They like that feeling of security. And the man is supposed to do that. Can anybody hear this? It's so quiet in here. Somebody told me that. They said, the Holy Spirit told me not to take the job. And I told this particular individual, I would not go that direction. Because if you go in that direction, you will shut the Holy Spirit down from ever doing any more to be productive in your life. And to this day, he's not in a good place. To this very day. So we don't realize how important the Holy Spirit is. Without having an interaction with Him. If you begin to really have an interaction with Him, man, I'll tell you what, your life will change. But you know, a lot of people, just knowing about the Holy Spirit is not enough. Because knowing about someone and then having an interaction with them is two different things. How many of you are aware of that? Let's take, for example, in the natural. How many of you know you can know about somebody? You can even receive information about them. It can be a positive or a negative, but it's only hearsay. But when you get connected to them, it puts a whole different light on everything. Now that you're connected with him, then you get to know who the real person is, and then you can distinguish whether or not that person is what you heard about. But until you really get connected with the person, you never really get to know that person. All as you get to know about him is hearsay. And I think a lot of things about the Holy Spirit is more hearsay than actual experiential knowledge. And Satan knows that. He knows if somehow he can keep the Holy Spirit out of our life, in some form or fashion, he can cripple our ability to have the strong man protect our goods. You guys want to go home? Now, notice what he said in verse 36. But I say to you that for every idle word. You know what this word here for word is? It's not logos. It's rhema. Whenever you see the word rhema spoke, it means what's coming out of you. What's coming out of the person. Now watch this. But I say to you, and who is he referring to? He's coming off of them, of Jesus, using a devil. And he says even Satan's smarter than that. He says he won't do anything to divide his kingdom. He'll bring it to, and Satan has been at work ever since to try and divide the kingdom of God within us by attacking the strong man, which is the Holy Ghost in your life. He is your strong man. But he's not your authority. You got to keep your authority intact, and he will join himself to your authority. And he also joins himself to God, for he is the mind of God for his authority. So he interacts between those two authorities. Hello? So when people start saying the Holy Spirit makes you do something, they usually have not been around the Holy Spirit. They've been around themselves. They got more witness in themselves than anything else. Now notice what he says here. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they shall give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Wow. Now why is that so important to understand? When those verses are connected to the Holy Spirit. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a man, see a sign from you. We want to see a sign. Yeah, we understand what you're saying, but we want to see a sign from you. They didn't pick it up. They didn't catch it. They didn't catch what Jesus was saying. He was saying, whatever I do, I'm doing it by the Spirit that has come from God. I'm not doing this on my own initiative. I'm not doing it to try and promote me. I'm trying to do it to promote man and the position that he belongs in, demonically free. Amen. Because Jesus was not here to prove that he was the Son of God. He was here to prove the love of God for humankind and seeing them free. You got to get the right mind and purpose of why God does anything. He doesn't do it to say, I'm God. I mean, an agnostic has that much respect. I didn't say atheist, I said agnostic. They just don't know whether God exists or not. But I'll tell you what, they're not unreachable if you can prove that God does exist. I'll tell you what, it's the love of God. that's more important than anything else, because the Bible says it's the love of God that leads men to change. Hallelujah. And so I begin to realize that everything that I have concerning the kingdom of God, every hope that I have, every thought that I have, every voice that I speak, everything about my life is the fact that the Holy Spirit has been the major leader of it. Hallelujah. Now, I've been around a lot of wonderful people in my life, and they've talked about how they meditate the Word of God and how they share things out of the Word of God. And I have to stop them right in the middle of that and say, now wait a minute, now you're talking about having the right material, listening to the right speaker, going to the right place to pick up the right book, the right magazine, the right testimony, the right witness, but you haven't said anything about the Holy Spirit being the revealer of God in your heart. And I had one minister go, you know, I know to do that. Why don't I do it? And I says, because it's like a lot of us. We know what to do, but we just don't do it. Very humble man. Very humble man. Wonderful person. And said, you know, I've got to do that. I got to pray those mysteries out. He says, I got to do it. I never thought of it as part of my meditation, but it is part of my meditation. I said, I think about it all the time. I can go to the right place. I can hear the right message. I can go to the right book. I can go to the right CD. I can go to, well, cassettes aren't known anymore, but anyway. You know, I can go to the right place and hear the right thing. But I'll tell you, it takes an interaction living with me to really get to know the heart of my Father, and His name is Holy Spirit. Now, He said every idle word. And you know, when you think about that word idle, first time I read that, it scared me. I couldn't talk about hunting. I didn't care to talk about fishing, but hunting, oh. You know, and I got to thinking, my gosh, I have no business even talking about that. I got under a law that wasn't even enacted. Man, every unproductive, I looked it up and said every worthless word, and I went, oh my gosh. My conversation went from, how many of you know something's wrong in your thinking when that happens? And I says, well, I gotta know what this means. Well, it wasn't until quite a while later, I got introduced to the Greek word argos. And that is a Greek word for idol. Now, here's what this word means. It means something that you chose to mark off by decree. And really, if you have an updated Strong's Concordance, they use a different word in there. And so I got thinking, now how can one use one word and another one use another? And I looked up, and there are other translations in the Greek that do change the wording. That's the unique thing about the Greek. You gotta be careful. You don't categorize it into one interpretation, because there are other witnesses of the Bible as well that have different word meanings there. And so when I looked up the one in my Strong's, it said this: to mark by decree, to determine and ordain, to choose not to employ for work, not to be responsible to activate. And give you an example of that. It's two men sitting down, and one wants to be hired, and the other one has the authority to choose him for the job. So in the conversation, the one who has to interview the one seeking employment has to make the decision or to choose whether to employ that person or not. And so as a result of that, the individual will either become employed or he will not be employed. And that's where this word Argos comes from. It literally means one who has chosen not to employ something. And it comes off that word to disown, to make a separation, to mark off through separating away from something. Now that really makes a whole lot more sense to me when it says, when it comes to speaking about the Holy Spirit, anytime you take any part of the Holy Spirit and you speak against it and you make a decision within yourself to separate the Holy Spirit from that form of His operation, that means not only are you now bearing a false witness to Him, you're also declaring and decreeing, and you will spread to other men the very same thing that you had determined about the Holy Spirit, that He no longer functions in that area. He no longer operates in that area. It has been shut down because of something else. You better make sure the Word of God is clearly defining that thing. Because then what you'll do is you'll be like just somebody else that says, well, I know that there are men who speak in tongues, but it's if God wills it for them to have it. You just spoke an idle word you're going to be held accountable for, because the damage that will do will travel to the day of judgment. Well, the gifts of spirit passed away when the last apostle died. The ears of the person who heard that, if they ever end up in a situation where they need the help of the Holy Spirit in one of those gifts, you better make sure it hadn't been your idle words that has spoken into their ear that it no longer functions in that area. You won't be forgiven it. What? Because of the damage that it does. I have seen countless of believers who have been so misled, because a portion of the Holy Spirit had been cut out of their life to give them direction. A word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. You know what they're doing now? They're taking a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, as meaning natural meanings. They've taken all the supernatural out of it and put it into the natural. That's flesh, people. I'm going to tell you, thank God I get a word from God. Thank God I get wisdom from God. Thank God it ain't from natural man's thinking. Speaking in tongues. You know why speaking in tongues is so powerful? Speaking in tongues gets you outside the realm of this natural ability to apprehend something. You get over into that realm, and that's where the Holy Spirit picks up what's in your mind, what's in your heart, what you need to convey to God, and He will convey that to God so that God answers you back more precise than what your natural head can come up with. Amen. Somebody said, why do you want to speak in tongues? You don't know what you're speaking. Amen! I don't know what I want to speak in the natural. I don't want my own understanding involved. I want the understanding that God has. And that's why these men who are going to be held accountable to even talking about that language, they're going to be held accountable because God gave it to the Holy Ghost to give it to the church so the church can use it. I asked one person, I said, why are you so against the Holy Ghost? And so he started telling me, I said, hey, come on, give me scriptural evidence. Let's get down to the nitty gritty of this. You know what he said? Well, it's how you interpret the Bible. It says, yes, amen. I'm trying to get an interpretation out of you. I'm going to tell you, if you know the Word of God, you can nail them right against the wall. I said, show me. And you know what he admitted? This is what he did. Can I tell you something? I said, I'm trying to get you to tell me something. He said, I'm afraid of it. He was afraid of it. I said, let me ask you something. Do you ever do any sin in your life? Well, oh yeah. I said, how about recently? Well, it's like, that's my business. I said, let me ask you, do you fear that more than you fear speaking in tongues? Which one do you fear? Why would you fear something that's got God in it, and yet you would not fear something that's got flesh in it? Why would you want to go and fornicate with somebody and not want to speak in tongues? But go ahead and give yourself over to fornication? Hey, there's something wrong in thinking upstairs there. All the lights are on, but nobody's home.
Yes.
No, we're living in a time period. I'm serving notice on church. We're living in a time period. We got to get back the Holy Ghost and get out of men and get back into our Bible and start reading it and have the Holy Ghost take over and begin. You have no need that man teaches you what he's talking about. Men who have the ability to lead you astray. No, you ain't going to sit there and tell me that the last apostle died and the gifts of the Spirit are done away with. Show me that in Scripture. It ain't there. I'm a little mad right now. I got to calm down. I'm preaching out of my emotions and I quit. I got to quit. But I'm ticked off. I'm tired of the Holy Spirit always being talked again. How about you? I mean, you know, if somebody starts talking against any operation of the Holy Spirit, you know what you need to do? You need to assist the kingdom of God in the witness of, turn around and walk away from them. Just turn flat around and start walking. Hey, where are you going? I don't want to listen to that. Because then you will be held responsible for what I listen to, and I don't want no part of that. Because I ain't going to pass that information on. Where is it in Scripture that says, if the Holy Spirit wants you to speak in tongues, He'll just give it to you? There ain't no teaching in the Bible that the Holy Spirit will throw anything on you He pleases. You gotta ask for it. Why is there a separate, distinct act of the whole baptism of the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit had to come into the world with your will intact. That's why. Period over and out. Anything that you want the Holy Spirit to do in your life, He has to have your permission. Because He's your strong man to guard your goods that you belong to your household. I like John 14. I really like that one. Everybody interprets it from Dean's perspective. Dean Braxton. What? In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go there to prepare a place for you. Is it all right for me to? I'm just kidding you, Dean. No. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you. And right away we think that he's referring to a heavenly house. He's referring to the house that God has prepared for you so that when you get born again, the Holy Spirit will come and live on the inside of His house that God prepared for you. So He can give you the complete understanding of what you inherited when the Holy Spirit moved on the inside of you. This is too good to be true. When somebody says, that's just too good to be true, tell them, from the natural viewpoint, you got that right. But from your spiritual viewpoint, don't keep going in that direction. Did you guys get something here today? Are we going to get to the place where we can learn what it means to be led of the Spirit? Father, we're getting ready now to release your beautiful people. And Father, as the Holy Spirit becomes more apparent in our life, our walk, Father, may we draw more on His nearness and closeness to keep us from taking the wrong step and therefore fall over and not make our intended end. Father, I pray that everyone who was called upon to respond to their condition, they did it in your precious love. And Father, I look forward for a good witness and testimony of all the healings that took place here today. Because, Father, we exercised our authority to receive that in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Father. Father, how precious are the souls of men, that you would give the mind of God to our soul. May we learn to respect that. In Jesus' name. And if there's anybody here that wants to get saved, you can come right up right now. Feel free to come right up. Anybody wants to get saved right now. We don't want one service to go without somebody, without the invitation to salvation. Anybody? Okay. Father, may they have a blessed day and may they have victory over their life. In Jesus' name, amen. You're free to go. We have a hospitality room. If you want to go in there and meet with us, feel free to go over there and meet. Praise God. We love you.